Barry Trammell wrote one of his all-time greatest columns, and Barry Trammell is one of the all-time greatest, and he writes great columns every week. But to me, this one might have been my favorite because my pet peeve in college football is that the poor non-conference games that we get served up year after year, the mismatches that we see in non-conference games in college football, and Tram wrote it a whole lot better than I can say it because he does extensive homework, as he always does. Did you read Tram's piece, and what are your thoughts, Marcus?
I did. I think college football has changed a lot in the last 50, 60 years. Like, if you consider those Oklahoma games, like, they're playing a schedule of Vanderbilt, Stanford, and all that stuff. I mean, OU still run it over those teams when Coach Switzer's the coach, right? I mean, did it matter if there was a direction in front of the name? I mean, I think the MAC is, with television, and this is the reason why, what OU and Georgia sued the NCAA in 1981 to have their own television rights. And so since that decision, conferences like the MAC and the WAC or the Mountain West and all that stuff have gained a lot more notoriety, or they've gained a lot more impressions from people because their games are on television. Back in the day, they really weren't. So scheduling, to me, 1AA games that everybody has figured out, hey, look, let's play one 1AA game, which we're going to win. It's kind of a glorified scrimmage, and it's a little bit more of a week off. Fans care enough to come to the game. So, right, at Alabama, they're going to sell out whoever they play. They'll sell out if they even have a scrimmage. So I think that's why the game has become so popular that fans will have to deal with that.
Well, Tram says, when left to their own devices, college football programs literally schedule more bad games than good ones. And they laugh at their fans. They lie to the players. They tell us they're legitimate games when they're nothing more than exhibitions or scrimmages. I totally agree with that, Marcus. I mean, we got way too many mismatches. And he starts his column off by saying, 1974 USC Trojans, all right, 4 non-conference games before they beat Ohio State in the Rose Bowl, all right? Their non-conference games were Arkansas, Pitt, Iowa, Notre Dame, all right? I mean, the 84 Michigan Wolverines, all right? Now, they ended up losing to BYU, and he said they were chastised as being mediocre for a 6-6 record, which I still say anyone with a 6-6 record is mediocre. But they did play Miami, which started off the season ranked number 1, and they also played Washington just, out of conference. And he talks about even in 1994, Gary Gibbs, the year he got fired, OU's out-of-conference games were Texas A&M, Syracuse, which was pretty good back in that time, Texas Tech, and Texas. Look, I mean, the thing is, and I know that it's changed a little bit, and you make good points when you talk about, how the MAC gets more exposure now and all that. But the point is that Florida, Georgia, a lot of these teams he points out are actually doing it in this day and age. Florida has 3 Power 5 non-conference opponents scheduled every year from 26 to 31, including OU and Ohio State, Tram says. He says the Gators, and he quotes their athletic director, Scott Strickland, in here a lot, but the Gators have scheduled 3 Power 5 non-conference games for 24, 26, 28, and 30. And then in 31, Tram calls it the ultimate throwback schedule where they got Texas. Now, they're going to be part of the SEC now, but they had scheduled Texas, Arizona State, Notre Dame, and Florida State in the non-conference that the Florida Gators have.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
So, but, and he also says, The OU in the entire decade of the 70s, they played 40 non-conference games. Only 4 of them were against opponents that were on the outside of what we call the Power 5 right now. And that was Utah State in 72 and 4, Utah in 77, which is Power 5 now, and Tulsa in 79. The Sooners in the entire decade of the 60s, Tram says, played 30 non-conference games, none of them, zero, against non-power or non-major independents, Marcus.
Right.
I mean, I am totally with Tram on this. Don't tell me that it's the greatest regular season in sports when it's not. When they're giving us Alabama against Austin Peay and A&M against Sam Houston State and OSU against Arkansas Pine Bluff, Tram says, and he lists all these mismatches. He says, and 100 more games that aren't worth watching. Tram is exactly right about this.
So I know this is right up your alley and in your wheelhouse, but I will play slightly devil's advocate to you on this, okay? Is because in the 70s we had 11 games. Now we have 12. So if you consider that the one is basically a glorified scrimmage that you add if you're playing a 1AA team, if you go – now that we're going to have 16 and possibly 20 teams in the Big Ten and the SEC, you can't tell me that those teams aren't going back to the old way of just playing themselves and maybe a couple other people and that those that that's going to be
Mark,
pretty significant football.
Don't tell me 1AA. Tram points out in here, Tram says Alabama has – Now, Alabama has two Power 5 opponents scheduled every year from 2025 to 34. So, you know, some people like Alabama, Florida, Georgia, ironically, it's some of these SEC teams that are telling the SEC, telling their own conference, no, we're going to go ahead and schedule tough teams and so forth. But a lot of people are scheduling not just 1AA, some of them are scheduling two, you know, 1AA teams and so forth. Per season, Marcus. Just because they add another game to the schedule doesn't mean that you need to schedule a scrimmage.
It doesn't, but I'm saying if you want to compare it to an 11-game schedule, not a 12-game schedule, it's not really taking the place of what would have been a significant game. But I do think, like you said, Florida's schedule in 31. I mean, Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia, a lot of teams have adopted a pretty good scheduling model. And Oklahoma's schedule is going to get a lot tougher when they go to the SEC now. You know, I mean, you're not playing games against Kansas anymore. You're not playing Texas Tech, which has been pretty easy for Oklahoma after Mike Leach left there. You know what I'm saying? So
I don't know why you can't have at least two Power 5 non-conference opponents. He said Clemson's been doing it. You know, Clemson scheduled to do so from 22 to 37, have at least two Power 5 non-conference games. Florida State has two scheduled from 22 to 25 and, again, from 27 to 30. In 26, Florida State is scheduled to play Alabama, Florida, and Notre Dame, all non-conference. That is good. You know,
well, look at Florida's schedule next year. Now, they got an easy one, but they got – I mean, excuse me, look at Arkansas' schedule next year. They got an easy one, but they got Cincinnati and on the road at BYU plus the entire SEC schedule.
Oh, I know.
I mean, you give them a break if they played nobody in the other two, right?
And so they got Missouri State and Liberty, right?
Liberty's not terrible either.
Okay. No, but that's good. But Arkansas's right. He ranked them all. He's got Arkansas ranked number 6 for next year, and that's even with Liberty and Missouri State on there.
Probably not get enough credit for Liberty. That's not a terrible team. They just had a quarterback drafted.
No. I'm not getting on to Arkansas. Arkansas's got one of the tougher schedules. But you look down at the bottom of that, and you look at. Like we talked about this last week, Michigan playing Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn. And you got Minnesota is playing New Mexico State, Western Illinois, and Colorado, which Colorado in this day and age is not the Colorado of old. I don't know. To me, it can get a whole lot better.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.